and I am just going to tell you, I love you. Anybody, yes.
Turn that light on.
Turn this light on?
No, if you want.
Oh, it don't matter. Somebody asked me, he said, what happens if lights go out? I said, things backlit. Don't make any difference. So you're in trouble either way. So there you go. Like I said, I love you. Anybody that would come out on a night like tonight and be here at this has got to just, you just love the Lord. And I know you do. And it just shows where your heart is. And I appreciate that so much. Now, I know that the people of Paoli didn't have much of a choice because they're afraid they're getting berated on Sunday for not being here. But the rest of you and all that, I'm just teasing. It's just good to see you here, and it's great to see people that love God so much and just want to be part of that and just want to share in His Word. And so I appreciate that. We've got kind of a lot of real estate to cover tonight, so we're going to kind of get right to it. But this has been a great study, hasn't it? Have you enjoyed this study?
Amen.
It's been a great study. I think it has. It's been a study that I think that we have needed. That we need a study like this in our day, in our time. We need a study like this. We need to know, as the people of God, we need to know how to stand in a world where sin is such commonplace. Where it is a place where sin and the things that go against God's word are so common anymore. We, as the people of God, need to be able to stand. We need to be able to stand against those things. The world is trying to knock us down. And I hope you understand that. And because of that, we need to be able to stand. That's what Paul is teaching us here. The people of God need to know how to defend themselves. They also need to know how to take the offensive as well as the defensive. We need to be on the offensive as well, because it's not just us that we're concerned about. We have a mission here as the church. Is that right? We have a mission here as a church. It's not just saving ourselves, which is part of the battle. That's part of it. It's not just saving ourselves. It's going out into the world and it's bringing others to Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our goal. And that's what God wants us to do. And He says the way that you can do that, and the only way that you can do that, is to pick up the armor of God. The armor of God provides both for us, tools that we can use to defend ourselves, but it also gives us weapons that we can use on the offensive as well. God has given us what we need to combat the world and the ways of Satan. Not just to survive, not just to survive ourselves, but He's given us what we need to win people to Jesus Christ. Is that right? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? I don't think you do. There wasn't a whole lot of response there. We have the ability to win souls. God is going to help us with that. Too many times I think we shrink back in the defense instead of putting on the offense. We need to have confidence in the weaponry that we have. We need to have confidence in the armor that God gives us and go out in the world with confidence, with our heads held high. We need to know, we need to let the world know who it is that we belong to and who it is that we're fighting for. And we need to go with confidence and win people for Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to do. We can't do that without the weapons. We can't do that without the armor that is designed to fight this kind of battle that we're in. On our own, we do not know how to design that kind of weaponry that we need. We can't come up with that on our own. We couldn't come up with it on our own. Only God knows how to do that, and He has done that for us. Paul will share with us what kind of fight this is, and it's a different kind of fight than we're used to being in. Most of the time, we're used to seeing our enemy head on. We can see the enemy. We know the enemy's there. We can see that enemy, but this is a different fight. Paul tells us how different it is, and he shares with us the weaponry that we need to have to handle this kind of fight, found in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been studying that all week long. He says in verses 12 through 13, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's the physical. We don't wrestle against things that we can see. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now get that. The rulers of the darkness of this age. against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. My friends, we can stand. And we can fight. And we can win the battle. But we can't do that by ourselves. We must use what God has given us. This is a spiritual fight that we are in. That's what Paul's referring to. And because it's a spiritual fight, we must use spiritual weapons to be entered in this fight, to use in this fight. And who better than to give us those spiritual weapons than God, who is spirit? And he has done just that. We will fail in this fight if we don't use what God has given us. If we look at the passage that Paul talks about, those weapons and those tools in Ephesians chapter 6 that we use for defense, the weapons that God has given us, he will tell us, number one, that we must use these weapons if we are going to stand. If we use anything else other than what came from God, if we use anything else other than that which came from God, we will fail. It doesn't matter if we say that these weapons that we have come up with are weapons or not. We can call a thing something all day long. I can call this thing here, this recorder, a weapon all day long. Doesn't mean that it is. It looks kind of like a phaser from Star Trek. And I can call it that, but that doesn't mean that's what it is. So we can call something weapons, and the world does that. And we have things that we can call weapons that other people call weapons. It doesn't mean that they're weapons. Where does the weapons come from? The weapons come from God. And it only comes from God. The weapons that we invent and the invention of those spiritual weapons, those so-called spiritual weapons that man has invented, if we use those, we will lose. Those weapons will be inadequate to take to the fight. And the man-made armor that we have invented is inadequate to stand. And if we use those, and what I mean by that is the spiritual, the error in spiritual teaching. That's the man-made weaponry that we sometimes use, that the world will tell us, these are weapons you can use. And if they don't come from God's word, they're not weapons. And we need to make sure that we're using what God has given us. And if we take anything else other than what God has given us to the fight, it'll be inferior enough that it will take our lives. God has provided the armor that we need, and we need to use it. We must use, number two, we must use all of what God has given us if we are to stand. I want to tell you, and I don't know, I think Larry touched on this the other day, and I think it was Larry who touched on this the other night. We make a classic mistake when we go into battle with Satan, made by adversaries, if you will, over the course of history, when we try to fight Satan. We make a classic mistake. We underestimate our enemy. We underestimate the power of our enemy. We make jokes about it. We see it sometimes in a flippant way. But my friends, make no mistake. Satan is powerful. And he will do what he will do without remorse and without hesitation. He will use whatever he can use without remorse and without hesitation. He will do anything and everything that he can to take you away from God. You understand? That's his purpose. That's what he's doing. He is trying to take God's people away from him. And Satan is powerful, too powerful for us to fight alone. And if we try to fight Satan by ourselves, we will fail and we will lose. And we need to know that. And I hope that we do know that. And I hope that we understand that. And I hope we understand the gravity and the seriousness of the fight that we're in. We're talking about eternal life. We are talking about eternity. And that's nothing to play around with, is it? That's nothing to play around with. That is serious. And we need to understand that it's serious. And we try to fight Satan by ourselves, we're going to lose. And we know that. How do we know that? Because, what?
Been there, done that.
We've been there and done that, brother. We've already lost. We've already lost. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We've already lost. In that action of sin, we've been separated from God. And that's a win for Satan. And he's not in the business of killing us physically. He doesn't care whether we live or die in a physical way. What he cares about is killing us spiritually. That's what his aim is. That's what his goal is. And because this is a battle, we often fail, a battle of spirit, we often fail sometimes to see the dangers that we are in. And God sheds light on that for us, and he tells us that with him, with God, we can win the fight. But being with him means picking up that armor, means taking the armor that God has provided for us and using that armor in the way that he's told us to use it. Tonight we're going to look at two things closely as they pertain to this spiritual fight. Number one, we're going to see that we must be, if we're going to win this fight, we must be with God. If we are with God, then what? God is going to be with? There you go. If we're with God, God's going to be with us. Therefore, we must be with God. Number two, we must see and understand that we need to use what God has provided. All of the armor is key to our spiritual fight. And I don't think that you can just pick out one thing and say, okay, this is, if you've got to choose a way, this is the thing that you need. Because Paul said all of it is key for our survival. We need to have it. We need to have all of it. Take up all of the armor, he says. Put on the whole armor. And while all of the armor is important, tonight we're going to focus on the shield of faith. We're going to study how we need such a tool, such a weapon in our spiritual fight. The shield of faith is necessary because if we are going to be people of God, then faith is necessary for spiritual life. Amen? Amen. Faith is necessary for spiritual life. The word faith is really used in more than one way in the Bible, in God's Word. It is something, number one, it is something that we have, but faith is also something that we can be a part of. So let's look at the idea first of being faith being something that we can be a part of. Over 240 times in the New Testament, the word faith is used. That's a lot, isn't it? 240 times in that little book the word faith is used. 39 of those times, there is a definite article used before that. The definite article, the, used along with that word. The faith, he says, indicating a particular way of faith, a particular way of living, a particular way of thought, of actions, particular to a certain specific group, a spiritual thinking group. In our day, we have many organizations, and we use these words kind of in a loose way. We use the term to identify different religious organizations, this faith or that faith, so on and so forth. In the New Testament, where there is the definite article, the, used, it is used to indicate that there is a one singular faith. The true way, the spiritual way, the true way of spiritual thought, and it comes from God. Jude will help us see that really in the book of Jude in verse 3. He says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And Jude's not the only place that we see this teaching. Paul will say in Titus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. So when God is using those words together, the faith, he is not defining other ways of spiritual thought. He's not defining other ways of spiritual thinking. He is saying he is defining his way of spiritual thought, of spiritual thinking. The faith. In the book of Matthew, starting in chapter 5, Jesus gives the best sermon I have ever read on Christian living. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, going through from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And I will tell you that I have referred to that to that often and keep referring to it almost in every lesson. Every part of spiritual Christian living, every part of Christian living is touched on either directly or indirectly in that lesson by Jesus Christ. That has got so much depth and so much meat there that Jesus says there's inference there, there's principles there which can be applied to our lives. And I'll just tell you that the more I read and study that sermon, the more I am convinced that Jesus hits directly or indirectly every aspect of Christian living in that. You need to read that. You need to study that out. He actually is sharing with his disciples, and that's whom this lesson is really aimed at. There are others there listening. But he's sharing with his disciples and with us, he's sharing with us, what it is going to take for us to be true, mature, faithful, strong followers of his. He says, this is what it's going to take. At the end of that lesson, Jesus gives an illustration that we often neglect as preachers sometimes, and I don't know why we do that. We often neglect it because we feel like it is a children's story. It's a story that we tell our kids. It's a story about a wise man who builds his house on a rock and another man, an unwise man who builds his house on the sand. And we sing that song with our kids at VBS. The wise man built his house upon the rock. We think it's a children's story. We think it's first principle stuff. And so often we skip it. But the illustration, my friends, is so much more than a child's story. There's so much to be learned from that illustration. The idea is that if you build your house on something unstable, then your house is going to be destroyed. Now that's a pretty serious result because he's talking about us. If we don't build on something solid, we'll be destroyed. Now that has some eternal reaches. We have to build on something stable. And Jesus is sharing with us that a spiritual house needs to be built. And that house needs to start with the starting place on a foundation. When we build something, we have to start somewhere. When we start on that foundation, the same sort of foundation for a building to be built on. A house needs to be, a house to be built on. It has to be strong. It has to be able to withstand the storms of life. And if a building is going to withstand the storms, then it must be built on something solid, not something movable, something immovable. And Jesus will say that it must be built on a rock. And we're not left to our imaginations as to what that rock is. He tells us in there, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, he gives us what that rock is. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, now we like the hearing part, we sometimes don't like the doing part. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The teaching of Jesus and the application of that teaching is the rock, then, that we are to build on. Now we cannot know what this teaching is by just observing the world. We can understand a lot of things about God by looking at the creation. We can know that God is there. We can know how powerful he is. We can see a lot of things. If we look out into the universe and we see the creation of the world, we can understand a lot of things about God. But we can't know what God expects from us. We cannot know what the teaching of Jesus is. That only comes to us from one method. We only get that teaching, we only understand what God expects from us if we are taught that. You see? We must hear what Jesus is saying to us. If we want to build on this rock, which is the teaching of Jesus, we must hear the teaching of Jesus. And that hearing builds our house. Well, in this hearing of the teaching of Jesus, we are learning about Jesus. We're learning about what God expects from us. And at the same time, we are building something. We are building our spiritual house. And we start with a foundation. The more we learn, the more we apply from the teaching of Jesus, our lives, our house, get stronger. We get stronger in Christ. The spiritual house that we are building is then our faith. You see, faith is built. It's built. And as we go on, we add to that. We continue to add to that. We build on that faith. Hearing. How do we get faith? By hearing. Hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. Hearing the teaching of Jesus. So faith in our spiritual house. Become one of the same. We apply that. We apply. And hearing is not just hearing the words. It's applying what we hear. It's applying to our lives what we've been taught. We live it. We are obedient to God. We become followers of Jesus Christ. And by doing so, we become part then of the faith. The faith. So faith is something that we can be a part of. As we are building that spiritual house, as we are obedient to God and learning and applying those things to our lives, we're part of the faith. So faith is something we can be a part of. We are in the faith. If we are using the guidelines of God to govern our lives, if we are using those guidelines to govern the way that we do things, the decisions that we make, the way His ways looking at His ways, His outlook on the world, on life, and being obedient to Him, by doing that, we are part of the faith. So faith is something we can be a part of. And we must be a part of the faith. If we're part of the faith, if we're not part of the faith, then we have not entered the fight. And if we're not part of the faith, and we've not entered the fight, then we have lost to Satan. Faith is not only something that we can be a part of, though, it is also something that we must have. To be in the faith, we must have faith. And we really cannot be part of the faith unless we have faith. Having faith is not something that's new to us. It's not really a new concept to us. We have faith in many things. I don't know what your morning routine is. I'm not very much of a morning person. I don't really like mornings very much. I will accept that they're gifts from God, but I like to accept that better later on in the day. And so it takes me a little while to get going in the mornings, and I'll get up, and most of the time, before my friends got me into doing exercise, which I truly, truly hate, usually I will get up and I will stagger my way into the coffee pot and I will make me a cup of coffee and I'll stagger my way back into the living room and I'll snap on the TV set and I'll turn on the news and I will look and I will see what happened in the world while I was asleep. Now maybe many of you have the same kind of routine. We have faith in what those news people or what the news people are telling us, don't we? I will go out and I will share that news with other people based solely on what? On something that I heard from them. We have faith in them. Faith isn't a new concept to us. We have faith in many things. We have faith in many people. The idea of faith isn't strange to us. The trouble we have, I believe, with faith, with spiritual faith, and why people grapple with it so, is that really and truly many people do not believe in the source. They don't believe the source. They don't believe that this is from God. They don't believe that God has given this to us. Now, I'm not sure why we think that God does not think about that the same way that He did when the children of Israel refused to take the promised land, because they were afraid of the people there. They saw the land, and they came back, and they said, we can't do it. This can't be done. 10 of them did anyway. This can't be done. We can't take this land. And God said, because of their unbelief, they will not be able to enter His rest. Because of their unbelief. The writer, the Hebrews writer, refers to that event in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And their unbelief came because of their lack of faith in God. If they either believed that God would or would not or could not do what he said that he would do. They didn't have enough faith. And because of that unbelief, that lack of faith in God, they weren't allowed to enter the rest. The Hebrews writer will go on to say that the same will be true for us today, referring to heaven as our rest that God is referring to. The same is going to be true for us today. If we have an unbelief, if we have a lack of faith in God, then we will not be able to enter his rest. In fact, the whole book of Hebrews is a great book about faith. In chapter 11 that we just read a few moments ago, the writer will there give us a great definition of what faith is. He will say in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are a couple of words there that really demand our attention. Words that we cannot ignore. The word hope, we cannot ignore that. That is an important part of that phrase. The word evidence there, we cannot ignore that. We hope for what we read in God's Word. We hope for the promises that He has made to us. These are things that we have not obtained yet. Things that we don't have yet. And that hope is not really just, it's not merely wishful thinking. It's not merely wishing for something. These are things that we don't wish for, but these are things that we wait for. This is anxious anticipation for these things. And we can anxiously await those, and we can have that anticipation because of the evidence that we have about God. Sure, there are things about God that we cannot see. There are things that God has told us about himself that we have not witnessed firsthand. Things that he has promised to us that we have not yet obtained. But we still have faith in those things. And we have faith in those things because of the evidence that we have. We can see God in the creation. We can see the wonders and the beauty that he has given us in creation. We can see ourselves and know ourselves and understand that we're just too much, too complicated, too much to just have arrived. Our thinking is just too much to just have been here by accident. We've had to have created. There's design in the world, and there must be then a designer. And we can see that about God. We can see that in creation. There's more to us than just flesh and blood. And the evidence is all around us, including but not limited to his word, which makes perfect sense. And therefore, we believe the source. You see, believing the newscast, as Larry was pointing out earlier, believing the newscast, sometimes we have faith this way. That's what believing those news reporters are. We have faith this way. God says, I want you to have faith that goes up. I want you to have faith, vertical faith. And we get that vertical faith by seeing around us, by reading through his word and knowing and understanding what God has done for us. Knowing that we could not have gotten here any other way and the creation could not have gotten here any other way. There's more to it than that. His word makes sense. We believe the source. We have faith in God, and we have faith in what God tells us. And we build our faith in faith around what God says to us. Faith is really a mechanism, if you will, a mechanism that triggers belief. We believe the news reports because we have faith in them. They have proved themselves to be a good source of information. The same is true on a grander scale with God. It's amazing sometimes that people will turn on their TV and believe what man has said to them through the TV, and yet here's God giving us all this information that he can give us in his word, and we shake our heads and doubt that. That's amazing sometimes how we come to that. God has done that on a grander scale. We believe in the promises that he's made for us because he has given us evidence to believe that on a grand scale. We believe in the promises that he made to us. And we believe that because we have faith in God. And that faith leads us to belief. Because we can see that evidence around us. We see how God has worked and continues to work in our lives. And when we believe something because of the faith that we have in it, then we become passionate about that. We become passionate about that. I hope we have a passion for the Lord's work. I hope we have a passion for the Lord's word. We need to be passionate about that. We do because we believe. That belief becomes truth. It's truth for us. We believe this. We believe what God has told us to be true, to be right, because we have faith in God. Without faith, none of the other comes. You see? Without faith, our passion for God fails. That passion that we have for God leads us to action. And the action will fail if the passion is not there. And the passion will fail if the belief in God is not there. And the belief in God won't be there if we lack the faith in God. And again, the Hebrews writer will tell us almost word for word that same thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Faith is necessary. If faith is necessary, we must have it. We must be in it. And because faith is necessary, because it is a necessity, Paul will then say that the shield of faith is a necessity. It's part of the armor, and we dare not go out into battle without it. We can't go into battle without it. Faith takes us to belief, and that belief takes us to passion. Passion takes us to action, and that action is to pick up that armor of God. Okay, well, that's all well and good, you say, but you still hadn't answered the question. How is faith our shield? Why does God say that faith is our shield? Why does He use that word? He says that because if we have faith and we are part of the faith, then that faith works as a shield because it works for our spiritual protection. Again, a shield is something that is not foreign to us. We know what the use of a shield is. We even use shields all the time. Well, you used one tonight getting here. We call it a windshield. And without it, that would have been a pretty wet ride tonight. Well, the windshield does exactly what its name implies. It protects us from the wind. It protects us from the dangers. We're not riding around like my dog who likes to ride around with his head stuck out the window and his jaws flopping and ears flopping in the wind. We don't look like that driving. We've got a windshield. Protects us from the wind, from the rain, from the debris that falls. It's not foreign to us. We use that. Protects us from harm. And we rely on it to do the job that it was designed to do. And while that shield protects us in a physical way, we need to remember that this armor that God has given us, this shield that God has given us, is a spiritual shield. And because it's a spiritual shield, it protects us in a spiritual way. And my friends, how we need that spiritual protection. Because we are in a fight to the death. We are in a life and death struggle with a foe that is more powerful than we are on our own. One of the greatest problems, again, one of the greatest problems that we have in our world today is that we underestimate the power of Satan. And because we do that, we make the mistake of thinking that we can face this powerful force alone. Without the armor of God. When we do that, we'll lose. We cannot stand up to Satan by ourselves. We cannot stand up exposed without the armor of God. We will be killed spiritually. And we have, in fact, already experienced that death. As we said before, we have all fallen short of the glory of God, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God brings us back to life as we are raised out of that grave of baptism. He brings us back to life, to a newness of life. But that doesn't mean that Satan stops working on us when we begin to live again. Guess what? He's looking to kill you again. He's continually looking to do that. Satan doesn't quit coming at us. In fact, he'll come at us even harder, even stronger. And we don't want to experience that death again, especially eternal death. So we must protect ourselves. And the shield of faith is one of the pieces of that protection. And we can work on this shield, and we must work on this shield, and we must make it stronger by building our faith. Like any arm of this armor of God, it needs to be built on. It needs to be worked on and made stronger. The more we hear, the more we learn, and the more we apply, the stronger we become. And as we build this faith in faith, then we are going to better be able to quench those darts hurled at us from Satan. What are those darts that Satan throws at us? What are the darts that we experience that Satan throws at us? It comes at us in form of temptation. When he tries to trick us and lure us away from God, it is the lies that he tells us about how his way is a better way. And my friends, he's got a lot of agents out there working for him in that category. And we bring it into our house and we pipe it into our TVs and onto our computer screens almost on a daily basis, that his way is a better way. We need that shield of faith. This is the errant teaching that he has been able to convince people about spiritual matters, and they've been able to convince others, and they try to convince others. It's the trouble and the strife that bombards us in this life. Satan uses that against us to pull us away from God. Anything that he uses to try to lure us away from God and away from truth, those are the darts that we need to quench. And how do we get through those? How do we get through those times? We do that with faith. We will not stand against those darts without faith. We must hold up that shield of faith as we move through the world and through this life. Because without it, we'll fall. Our faith pulls us through the hard times. Have you ever been through a hard time before? Sure you have. Everybody has. How did you get through that? I'll tell you how I get through it. I hit my knees in prayer to God. That's how I get through it. Why? Because I have faith in God. I have faith that he's going to pull me through it. We get through those hard times by faith. It helps us in our decision-making process. It is our faith that tells us to listen to God and to him only. Satan throws those darts at us, wanting to hit us and take us away from God. He wants to break us. He wants to break our godly spirit. And it is that faith that protects us, that keeps that spirit alive. And we can, with a strong faith, we can stand up against Satan. We build that faith by learning more about God. And when Satan throws those fiery darts at us, when we take that faith and we hold it up in front of us and we let those darts be engulfed by that shield and extinguished, knowing that the shield has come from the Creator of the universe. The Creator of the universe. The mightiest power in all of the universe. And guess what? He's on our side. Amen? Amen. He's on our side. But if faith is not there, then those darts get through. We'll believe things that aren't true. We'll see things in a worldly way instead of God's way. And each time one of those fiery darts lands on us, we get closer and closer to spiritual, eternal death. But with faith shielding us, those darts don't find their mark. And if they do, it's a glancing blow. And we can recover from them. And some of them will get through. Some of them do. And sometimes we fall to sin. But we can recover from that because we have a great physician. But it takes faith. As we build our spiritual faith and become more and more ingrained in that faith, and our faith increases, our belief in God increases, and that leads to our trust in God. Faith leads us to trust God, knowing that He's made promises to us. We have faith that He's going to keep those promises if we trust Him. Trust Him, He will be with us, He will help us. Because He wants us to succeed. God hadn't set us up for failure. He hadn't set us up for failure. He didn't one day just create us and say, I'm just going to see what these people can endure. He hasn't done that. He has given us everything that we need to succeed at Christian living. To succeed. Faith. He wants us to succeed, to trust in Him. And with that trust in God, not only can we use this shield as something defensively, but you know there are times where that shield becomes an offensive weapon. There are times where you can use the shield offensively. You can use it as a weapon. We can face Satan not only to fight for our souls, but we can use it to fight for the souls of others. Faith gives us the confidence and the strength that we need to go out into the world to teach people about Jesus and what He has done for us. I want us for just a moment to look back at verse 10. I'm winding down, so don't get nervous. Go back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to the first part of verse 11 and look at that passage there. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now in that passage, there's a couple of key thoughts that's going to lead us to use the armor that God has given to us. First of all, we want to notice that the first part of verse 11 where He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now I think that we tend sometimes to focus in on words when we're reading passages. I know that I do. I don't know if you do that. But we tend to focus in on words. And there in that passage, we usually tend to focus there on the word whole. Yes, we need to pick up the whole armor of God. That's right. All of what God has given us. But I want to refer you to the words that come before that, and those words that we often miss sometimes, we just kind of breeze over, are the words put on. Put on. What does that mean? That implies that we have something to do. It is inferring that you pick up the armor. You put it on. It's an action thing. It requires action from us. And we become part of the faith. When we become part of the faith. You know what that means? When you become part of the faith, you know what you're signing up for? You're signing up to be a soldier in the army of God. And with faith in God, we pick up the armor that we get from Him and we put it on our lives. But listen, while that's true, and while this is an action that we are to take, and we put that armor on, and it's an action that we are to take in this fighting, if we look back a few words before that, we see that it's not under our power that we fight this fight. What God says is He put on the armor, put on the armor, and you go out and you fight. That's right, but you understand that you're fighting under the power of God, not your power. You're fighting under His power. We're not out there alone fighting this fight. This is God working through us to take this fight to Satan. And that makes sense, doesn't it? That God uses us to do that because it is us that God is fighting for. My friends, what does that mean? It means you have a stake in this fight. You have a vested interest in this. You cannot afford to sit idly back and watch. You have to be involved in that fight. God working through us. His power working through us means that we can win the fight. But to let God use us in this fight, to let God work through us, it will take faith. Faith in God. Pick up that shield. Use it the way that God wants you to use it. If you're not part of the faith, then you are out there facing Satan alone. If you are out there facing Satan alone, then you have already lost the fight. Only by letting God get involved with you can you win that fight. Put your trust in Him. Take the actions that He's told you to take, and you can be victorious. You can be victorious, but only with God, which means putting on Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have not done that, be part of the faith. And start working to build your faith in God. And maybe you were there, but for some reason or another, you dropped the shield. The fiery darts found their mark, and you know that you've stepped out of the fight. And you're again out there fighting on your own. The good news is that you can change that. And you can come back to God and you can pick up that armor and that shield of faith and you can start that fight again. Pick up that shield. Pick up that faith. Go out into the world and be a soldier for Christ. If we can help you in any way, we want to do that. If you need to respond tonight, please do as together we stand and sing.